As we are out here doing another episode of Trail Talk, we are out on Sliplog Gulch. Today we're with Justin Key of UTV Pros. We're going to obviously go through this sweet expedition that we're riding in and what went into that, and also, you know, how UTV Pros came about and what they do for building sweet rigs like this that are tempting my checkbook.
Yeah, they're pretty cool. It's fun to get out here and, you know, just have something different. Like, we're always trying to push the envelope and build the next coolest thing.
Yeah. So how did you get into side-by-sides? Like, we can get into the UTV Pro stuff, but, like, how did you get into this? Like, I've interviewed a few people. Very few people are just like, wow. Very few people I've interviewed have just jumped in and said, wow, I just want to go buy one of those, and then, like, had it turn into something like you've got. So what was your journey like?
So I always grew up, you know, in the sand dunes. So I grew up in Salt Lake or whatever, and we, you know, I was a big dirt biker, so always riding dirt bikes and stuff. And, you know, going out, my dad always had, you know, a lifted golf cart, and then it went to the Rhino. And so he actually had a stereo shop, and the first machine we had was that Robbie Gordon Razor 800 four-seater. So we had the four-seater, and it was pretty cool, but, you know, wasn't sold on it yet. And, you know, just as the story goes, with age comes a cage. I wrecked pretty hard with my first kid on the way, so wrecked my dirt bike. Wife was like, no, we're done with this. And so, you know, just kind of got out of it for a minute, and she's actually the one that talked me into buying the first one. We got a 2014 Razor 1000, and so just kind of fell in love with it. Started, you know, coming down here, end up moving here because of it, and it just took me on a whole journey. So as we started getting more and more into it down here, trying to build it myself, there's no good shops, and, you know, everybody's going to Salt Lake or Vegas, and just, it's like, man, this is a great place and there's no good shops. And I was working in the oil field and decided to, I had a rental house up in Salt Lake, sold it, and funded my adventure that you see now. So
that's kind of crazy, man. Yeah, that's kind of a wild journey, to be honest.
Yeah. Yeah. Not typical, but I always knew I wanted to be an entrepreneur. And so, you know, I just never found my foothold of what I wanted to do. And, you know, I actually tried to, like, when vaping first got big, I tried to start a vape shop, and that was pretty difficult, and really wasn't passionate about it. And so, but I'm definitely, this isn't just for, you know, this is a major passion for me. And, you know, we go desert racing, we're, you know, out here rock crawling. I love all aspects of it. So
you can say, you know, like, though, the vape shop wasn't really your passion. Just looking at the stuff you guys build, you can kind of tell that this is more aligned with your passion for sure.
Yeah.
That's kind of interesting that you moved down here for this. And I think it's kind of unique to this area. What I find interesting is that so many people are transplants. Like, I think most everybody I've talked to is like, yeah, I lived here, or I lived somewhere else, I wheeled here, and then I was like, I'm just going to make this my life, and then just came here.
Right.
I think that brings, like, a really hardcore group of people together, because they've obviously made the big sacrifice, you know, jumping out of the oil field, stuff like that, giving up their life before to come here and be in Sand Hollow, which is, it's interesting you say when you were starting building them, you didn't have the, like, there wasn't a good shop around, or there wasn't, you know, as many people doing it. Because I've, in my mind, I just picture this as being off-road Mecca, and I'm like, why wouldn't there have just been stuff here for forever?
Right, yeah. No, so what do you know about UTV Pros? Like,
I don't know a whole lot. I do know that you guys built some badass rigs. I know that you have a race car. I know that you guys are working on Michael Lee's car for KOH. I know that Desrick puts me to shame in that Pioneer everywhere he goes.
Yeah.
But beyond that, I don't know a whole bunch. So fill me in. Like, where, you know, let's take me through, like, okay, we started with, you quit the oil field. Now what? You started funding this with your house. How did it grow? How did it accelerate?
So we started April 1st, 2019, and...
There's a joke to be had there.
Yeah, no, it was kind of crazy. It was like, I just, you know, the first day in the shop, you know, I was like, is this for real? Like, and just, you know, right there on Washington Dam Road, we got a 2,500 square foot shop, and, you know, I started it with Sonny Midson, and, you know, we both had the passion, just a mutual friend connected us, and we ended up, you know, just getting along and doing it, and grew up from just me and him working, you know, in the shop to, you know, a couple years later, we moved off of Sand Hollow Road and SR9, and then now we're just over behind Wheeler Cat. But, you know, it during COVID was, honestly a scary time. Like, it happened, and it definitely slingshotted our business. And so basically we, you know, scared a year into it, didn't know if, you know, this thing that's happening, the economy is going to shut us down. But as everybody knows, like, everybody went out and started recreating, and it just really propelled us. And, you know,
I was going to say, I'm a little confused if you were worried about it. Cause I was like, I feel like UTVs exploded right then.
Yeah, we had 2 weeks of nobody coming in the shop, and it's just like, I don't know what's going to happen. And then, you know, everybody realized, like, it's, you know, not the apocalypse. We can still go out and have fun. We're just not going to the restaurants and traveling anymore.
Yeah, we pack our own lunch.
Right. And so, you know, just from there, like, it just kind of all got put together. We couldn't get cages. You know, they were taking, you know, 2 to 3 months to get one delivered. And so found Carter. He's our head fabricator, and he came on with us, you know, four years ago now. And, you know, we just started the fabrication and, you know, started wanting to build a race car. So we, you know, fabricated a race car, started racing. And then, it's been a wild journey.
Yeah. Did you start? So when you started, were you guys just building cars? Because now you sell a bunch, you have a bunch of, you know, accessories and stuff that I see that you guys carry. But when you started, you were just like, bring me a car, I'll fix it. Bring me a car, we'll build this to it, type of thing.
Yeah. Literally, it was just kind of just the oil change. You know, we were repairing them. I mean, we knew how to work on them. So Before I started this, I built the 2018 Razor XP, long traveled it, all the stuff. And we actually, me and my friend, started a little YouTube channel. And, you know, it was all out of passion, right? And so then we knew how to build them, work on them, but started with, you know, some rental companies and just whatever we could service, and, you know, just being friends with everybody in the, you know, our group. Brought them over and trusted us to build them, and then we just developed into a one-stop shop.
Yeah, that's awesome. I wonder if we want to take a different route. We got the 4x4 Jamboree going on down here. I forgot to mention this when we started, but thanks to Cardo for providing, you know, communication for us in the car. You can follow along with this ride on Onyx. I'll post the link with the video. But as I just mentioned, we are down here literally at the time of the winter 4x4 Jamboree, which is awesome because there's a bunch of sweet rigs down here. But on one hand, it's cool. On the other hand, 40 Jeeps on a trail kind of plugs it up.
Yeah, they're
so we're
moving slow.
We're going to skip around them, I think. So you got started. What was your first, like, big break or something that you realized? I don't know if it's like a vendor that came on or like somebody that you signed with as a distributor for, or was it just, you know, bringing on Carter for Fab? What was, you know, one of the bigger things that you feel like kind of pushed you guys into what you have now?
I don't know. Like, it all just kind of blends together for me. But I mean, you know, coming into it, we're fortunate enough to help Hori. He's a Japanese racer. And so he came over and we you know, maintained his car. He'd fly in and race. And so, like, that was kind of my first, like, indication that, like, you know, God, we're really doing something awesome. We got, you know, people flying in from Japan and shipping cars over. You know, we built a couple cars and shipped them to Japan. It's you know, just pretty cool to see, you know, our stuff from, you know, not just around the country, but going around the world.
Yeah, that probably was like a, oh shit, this is real kind of feeling,
yeah,
for sure.
Yeah.
That's pretty cool. So he was the first person you've worked with. What other, I mean, you've worked with your own car, obviously. What other racers have you worked with or built stuff for? I know you're currently working on Mike's car, Michael Lee, getting ready for KOH.
Yeah, so, oh man. So we, our first customer, Darren, we built a full race car for him. And his first race was, oh man. We're going to back up. I don't want to do this one.
Yeah. Horseshoe Falls, yeah, for those, yeah, listening. We're in a really capable expedition, but that's a bit of an obstacle, to be perfectly honest.
Yeah, so we were, you know, out racing Vegas to Reno with Darren, just finished his car as a 21 Can-Am X3, and the motor blew, so he got out of the car and was walking across the track, got hit and killed, so, you know,
man.
Pretty tough, but and so, you know, we took a couple years off and kind of reevaluated how we were going to run our program, and so I haven't pitted for, or, you know, I haven't went out and supported somebody like that since. And so we'll get out there, you know, we're going to do it with Michael Lee. But, you know, I built, you know, Nate Hell, he's another big racer, he's from Salt Lake, went out and ran you know, the Baja 1000 with Mike Pratt from Salt Lake. So, you know, kind of cool, just the whole off-road industry. Like, if you want to do something in it, you just, you know, reach out and put the effort in, and you can really do whatever you want in this industry. It's pretty cool how everybody just opens up and, you know, willing to help.
Yeah, well, it's such a growing industry, especially on the UTV side, I feel like, right now. I mean, everything else is growing as well, don't get me wrong. But I feel like that, like, you guys almost couldn't have timed it better if you wanted to. You know, that boom of everybody trying to get outside during COVID, I just feel like that was when we saw some real pushes, even from manufacturers. Like, you know, the Pro platform from Polaris came out then. Just shortly after that, we ended up with the Maverick R, which, I mean, don't get me wrong, the XPs were awesome cars from the Polaris side, but, like, they were getting kind of long in the tooth, and I feel like there's a snap of, like, okay, this is, like, more serious now. It's we had a little transition phase away from the Rhinos and the UTVs and the Gator style, like, farm equipment, to now it's just like a full-blown, yeah, it's just, you can buy a full-blown race car almost. I mean, you can buy the race prep ready Razor, I think.
Right, yeah, so there's, you know, that new Pro R from Factory Polaris Racings should be coming to the stores any day. Yeah, it's, you know, when I got into it, it was, like you said, you know, we're lifting Rhinos and doing that stuff to now we're, you know, putting 700 horsepower with 37-inch tires and, you know, competing with Ultra 4 full rigs. Like, it's crazy. This year, I'm so excited to see that Ultra 4 race, and you know, those Can-Ams are coming out for blood because of what happened last year.
Oh, I think last year was a big eye-opener for a lot of people. I think, I think all the full-size rigs better be on their toes, to be perfectly honest.
Yeah.
You built a lot of race cars, but you guys also build, I mean, like, we're in just, I don't know what you would call this, not an exhibition vehicle, but, you know, just vehicles for the shop use or your own use. What has been your favorite vehicle you've built so far?
Oh, man. So, we built a lot of cool ones, but, like, you know, these stretched RS1s that we've been doing lately are pretty awesome. Like,
yeah,
you know, we take a, you know, an 84 inch long, 64 inch wide one seater and turn it into, you know, stretch them 20 to 24 inches and long travel. Like, Sean from, he has a dirt therapy. He yep. has, he's out here wheeling his Jeep, but like, you know, have you seen his RS1?
Yeah, dude, it's sick.
Yeah.
It's so cool.
You know, from his to, you know, I mean, just that's kind of the new cool thing for the rock crawlers is building these mm-hmm. stretched RS1s. You know, I mean, when we built our race cars, you know, just trying to do it to the, you know, top standard, like the best that it can be. And so just, you know, pushing it to not just be, you know, a show vehicle or average, but, you know, getting out there like and testing them, like my Turbo S, you know, it's on, I had it on 40s, but we went down to 37 Zills because they actually just worked the best. But going to the full hydro and just getting out here and, you know, willing these 9 and 10 rated trails in a side-by-side is pretty crazy.
Yeah, trails that cross up like even some of the better buggies, and to have a full IRS IFS rig come through and accomplish it is kind of bananas, especially considering the relative newness of the steering components, specifically the hydro stuff. I feel like my Turbo R, if you have to rely on EPS, like there's stuff you get into that you're like, well, I'm just not turning. Like I gotta go forward or backwards.
Right.
But I think, yeah, the coming out of the hydro stuff, people pushing the limits like that has been really incredible. You mentioned something I want to ask you about. You said you were on 40s on your Turbo S. So you have a Turbo S4,
yeah.
or what started as.
Right.
I've noticed also with people like Rob Christensen, he was on 40s as well, and he dropped to 37s too. Were you guys, you specifically, were you having issues with, you know, maybe axles staying together, or was it just the 37s just hook up better?
Yeah, so just they work all around better. You know, there's so much that height's going to do for you, but, like, mm-hmm. you know, then you get the center of gravity up there. And so, you know, definitely the traction is probably the biggest thing. But I, you know, being able to climb steeper stuff because I'm a little bit, you know, close, better center of gravity. But, I mean, yeah, as far as breaking any, like, I never had any problems really breaking on the 40s. You know, if I break something, it's usually because it's my stupidity at this point, because I've built, you know, I've broke everything, found the weak link and built it up. And for a portaled car, you know, it's very well built. A lot of people, you know, get that in their head, oh, I don't want to drive with those portal cars. They're always breaking, always trying to fix it. They're not reliable. And they're not, unless you spend some time, and they take a lot of tuning to get to work right. But you know, I wouldn't go back to a non-portaled car without hydro, you know. And so it's just like these things that you learn after, you know, wheeling so many hours out here with different combinations. And yeah. You know, I love trying new tires. Like we're testing out the new System 3 RC 500. It's, you know, one of the newer tires that's coming out to the market. And so it's, you know, I'm not brand biased at all, but I do want to get out here and test all the products that I'm recommending to all my customers.
Yeah, for sure. That's interesting. Well, it might just be like you've transitioned in life, but you said, you know, you started in the dunes and then you're like, well, I won't go back to a non-portal car.
Yeah.
And to me, that seems slightly counterintuitive, but do you run that Turbo S in the dunes as well? Do you, or have you just kind of like, you're now in a different phase?
So honestly, like getting the thrill out of it and all that, like I built a 2-seat Pro R and, you know, kind of a dune car and took it to the dunes. And I get worried of other people around me and really ripping and coming into a head-on. I've been in a couple head-ons and it's like, dude, that's not fun. And so if I want to go fast, we got the race car, we'll go to sanctions events, and you know the course is
trails closed, clear, yeah, everybody's yeah. out of the way.
Yes. And so I can push the adrenaline and get my excitement going just crawling around on these rocks, almost like racing. It's not the same, but you know, I don't have the fear of having a head on or, you know, just because, I mean, when you're out there speeds that high, you're going to crash at one point, right?
Yeah.
And
it's not a if, it's when.
Right. And you know, I just have a lot more respect for it now. So it's like, if I'm going to do it, I'm doing full tilt and I'm just going to go, you know, get the race car and make sure we're safe doing it, you know?
Yeah. It's kind of interesting. I have some family members of mine. So I used to race like SCCA autocross.
Okay.
This is just tangentially related, but it's funny. Like, I have family members that have like not really been involved in motorsports up until they met me. And they're the kind of people that like not on the trails, which is good because I think there's some healthy fear of it. But like when we're just driving places in the road, they're the ones that are always hauling. And I'm kind of like you, where I'm like, I don't know. I've been in a sanctioned event. I don't really need the risk of this. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like this is a different thing. Like I can go jump in an E90 BMW and chuck it around an autocross course or something if I want to feel that way. That's kind of cool. I'm curious, you know, a lot of why I do this kind of trail talk conversations are, I feel like that there's a lot of people that jump into these cars with that kind of opposite mentality of like, oh man, I got something fast now, and then just go ripping through trails. And I think that the broader off-road community feels that is a little bit of a bane to the community, which it is for sure to some degree. But from your experience coming from, you know, a shop's perspective, do you ever get people in that you're like, hey, we might be building you something that you can't quite handle type of thing?
Yes. I mean, to be, you know, we see it all the time. There's definitely a learning curve. People jump in these things and just like, you know, oh man, I mean, because they are so capable, they get overdriven, and it's, you know, there's no training course or whatever for these things. And so, you know, I mean, if you have enough money, you can do whatever you want, right? And so, you know, we have built some very capable cars that are like, man, you know, if you were a little bit better driver, like, you know, this thing would, you know, perform the way you want it. But it's like, you can't make up for skill by just buying you a better car. You know what I'm saying?
For sure. It all comes down to seat time, right? Like, you got to have enough seat time for your brain to start being cognizant of like what my capabilities are and when I should use those capabilities versus not. Do you have any, I know talking with some of the local Jeep people, they speak very highly of you. And I'm specifically mentioning like Julie Heyer and Matt Heyer, their neighbors. And they've been like, yeah, it's been nothing but good associating with Justin in the UTV Pros crowd and Michael Lee. Do you have any like interactions with Jeep people out here that are just maybe don't quite understand what like your role is in this, or that you have that attitude of like, I will go to a sanctioned course to be hanging out on the edge, or do you get, I guess sum it all up, do you get any dirty looks from Jeep dudes?
I mean, probably, but you know, I definitely do try to go the extra mile and be more, you know, in their group and going to them and saying, you know, seeing how they're doing and you know, being courteous on the trail and not like, you know, flipping a roost on them, but you know, just waving, yeah, or waiting your turn. And I mean, because you know, I mean, we're all just out here to have fun, and we're all, you know, at the end of the day, we're all off-roaders. I don't care what vehicle you're in, whether you're on a dirt bike or, you know, a full-size Jeep or rock buggy or whatever. And so, I mean, you know, I definitely do, you know, we got with Rich Klein, I don't know, I think it was 5 years ago, my first year into it, and was like, hey, you know, he's like, we're really trying to push the side-by-sides into this. And, you know, that really kind of was my eye-opener. And so I try to have no negative, you know, I try to just shine light on the whole, hey, man, we're just all out here to enjoy the trails together. And it's been good. I don't have a problem with really anybody. Like, you know, everybody's, and that's one thing that I think special about St. George. So like coming from Salt Lake, like, you know, I mean, I had a hard time making or finding my friend group and, you know, making a click. Coming down here the first 6 months, man, I had more friends and people that wanted to hang out than I've ever had in my entire life. And it was like, you know, I don't know if it's the area or just the community, but it's very welcoming to me.
Yeah. It's like you get down here and people are like, you like dirt? I like dirt too. Let's go do dirt.
Yeah, exactly. You know, dirt church, man.
Yeah. It's pretty crazy. That is, like I say, it is a special place down here. I've wheeled a lot with, you know, a Terex and, you know, other side-by-sides up in Utah County with some Jeep people. And, you know, there's definitely, I feel like a little bit more animosity there. But I will say overall, I feel like everybody's kind of like got it. Like, okay, we've kind of got to get it together as a group, which is great. And I'm happy as I have these conversations. It seems like more and more people are, you know, having that, like, it's just perception of the other group. It's not even really the reality. It's just how one group perceives the other or not. And it's like, if you just talked, you guys would all realize this is, like, we're all having a good time doing it.
And I do think, like, it takes us talking about this and making it a thing because, you know, I went to the, you know, the Winter Jamboree car show the other night and sitting there talking to people, and they're like, man, like, you guys are, you know, really a big community out here. If, you know, back in Arizona, like, you know, the side-by-sides are flipping us off and we're flipping them off. You know, we don't like each other, and it's, you come out here and everybody's pretty nice and cordial, and it's like, well, I mean, I think we do a good job of putting in the work to make sure, you know, it just gets better from here.
Yeah, for sure. And like I say, I think that's, I don't want to say it's unique to here, but I definitely am happy that people get along here.
Yeah.
So it's such a cool place. And I think that some of that comes from, I think a lot of people being transplants, right? Like, everybody knows that, like, me in the back of my head, I'm like, I consider myself a local, but, like, I know I came here for this special thing. And I think everybody else kind of feels that too.
Right.
And that kind of brings us all together more. But do you guys, kind of random question, do you guys work on any of the bigger stuff? Or are you guys pretty specifically UTVs?
We've been strictly UTVs. I'm not going to say it's not going to happen. We might start dabbling in some of the, you know, Jeeps and stuff like that. I mean, my ultimate dream is to have one of these buggies one day, and it'd be cool to build our own. So,
like a 4400 car or like a portal car?
Like a moon buggy.
Yeah.
Portal moon buggy.
Like the Haynes buggies, yeah.
Exactly. Yeah, they're just, I mean, they're on another level when it comes to rock crawling. And I mean, this is the best place in the world for rock crawling. So why not get into it, you know?
Yeah. Have you ridden in one?
I haven't. I have, I've been in some cool cars,
bananas,
but never one of those. Yeah.
It's so crazy. When I rode with Rich, he'd like look at stuff and be like, yeah, we're going to go wrap up around that thing. And I'm just like, okay. Sounds good.
Yeah, right.
Tightening my harness. He said something to me, which I found like not impactful, but it's just kind of stuck to me. It's like, just because a car is faster doesn't mean it's more capable, which is,
right,
I think, the definition of those things. Like, you see pictures of people coming down that big crack over by the chute and stuff,
right,
and you're just like, what in the world? And I love driving around here and like being like down in the maze or somewhere and like looking up at the rocks and being like, gosh dang it, there is tire tracks like,
right,
up through that little thing. Like, how on earth? I just think they're so cool. I'm fanboying for a second, but that's just me.
No, I agree. It's like, you know, most fun you'll have at 1 mile an hour, you know?
Exactly.
Yeah, they're just cool. I love everything off-road though, so it's like I want to You know, I want to get out there in a trophy truck. I just want to experience everything, to be honest.
Yeah, for sure. Do you think you guys you can't predict the future, but you think the side-by-side world will ever get to that, like, portal car, Jesse Haynes, you know, water-filled tire capability? Do you think we're already there?
So you got a lot of guys that are out there, you know, coming out with awesome rear steer and, you know, pushing it. But at the end of the day, like, I think it's tough because, like, your power plant and the way it's all connected, like, you're not able to do, you know, rear digs and, you know, do the cutting brakes. And to really get that capable, it's going to be a while. But they are getting stupid capable, but it's never going to be like Jeep. A full Jeep where you can do cutting brakes and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Well, I actually had Sean Roth with Dirt Therapy. He's like, man, like with this new Pro R that has the rear diff, you know, it's separated. It's not the transaxle.
Yeah,
like
it's got transfer case and two differentials. So that is following more of the Jeep pattern.
Right. And so he's like, dude, let's get this, you know, this thing, let's put it in an RS1, stretch it, and figure out how to do cutting brakes and lockers and all that. And I'm just like, it might get there. It might be faster than I predict, but I still think we're a little ways out.
Yeah. I think another thing that is, I don't want to say holding it back because, like, obviously they're doing so well, but the weight distribution with the engine in the rear, from what I understand, those rock buggies are looking for, like, a 60-40 split on weight. And it's really hard to do that when your power plant's in the back.
Yeah. Yeah, you have to. That's why, you know, the moon buggies, they're sitting the engine right, you know, they're sitting right off the side of the motor because it's all about weight distribution when you're out there climbing the steep, gnarly stuff.
For sure. Just kind of break away from that. What's your favorite trail out here? And there's two parts to that. What's your favorite trail for a rig like this? And then what's your favorite trail for your portal razor?
So for this, I mean, I don't know. I really just like going out and cruising the desert. And I mean, this thing's so much fun when it's raining to come and like try to find desert waterfalls and stuff like that. So
yeah,
it's pretty cool. And I like to be able to, you know, this year at Takeover was pretty awesome when everybody's getting wind blasted and I'm just sitting here. You know, watching it from the enclosed cab, that's pretty cool. But as far as like the portal car, I mean, the cauldron's pretty fun. We've always have a good time in the cauldron, and
we seems just like nobody gets out of there without breaking.
Yeah,
every time I see like you guys go down there or Slick Rock, it's always like we went into the cauldron, we came back with 50% of them running.
No, it's definitely one that'll test your car. And then Dutchman's, I just did Dutchman's couple weeks ago, and that was, you know, just being so close to San Hall, but completely different. That's a pretty, pretty cool trail that you have to go check out.
Yeah. What's the, I don't know what your purpose is for this specific expedition. We're on, is it 37s, right?
Yeah. So it's long traveled with portals and, you know, 37 inch tires. Really, like, you know, I say long travel, that I had 35s on it and it was cool. And I think that's probably like the magic for this machine is that setup. But, you know, when you're out at the shows, you're trying to get that attention and, you know, build the marketing behind the business. It's like, you got to have one that's a little different than everybody else.
Yeah,
and so,
a little taller.
Yeah. And so, I mean, it just, you know, definitely catches everybody's eye and, you know, I don't know. I think it's just unique. I love this thing. It's fun to come out here and watch everybody, you know, react to it. And the same way with my Turbo S when I first built it, I was, you know, one of the first guys rocking, you know, a Turbo S with portals. And, you know, when you get out that wide, it's, you know, it's not for everybody, but it's fun.
Yeah. So have you taken this on any gnarly stuff or is this, like you say, more of a marketing?
More marketing. I mean, it's just too, for me, it's, you know, I got my I got my crawler. I'll go beat on that. But, you know, I've done, you know, I mean, I've done the shoot in it. I've done, you know, a few obstacles, but it's, I do have a fear of tipping it on its side because I think the doors are like, you know, $3,000 a piece. Like, you know,
oh,
you
don't, dude.
It's, I don't want to mess it up.
No, for sure. That's awesome. Well, we've wrapped up Slick Block. We're actually back here by the maze. Is there anything else you want to cover? Anyone, you know, my audience isn't the biggest, but anyone, anything that they should go follow that they aren't?
Yeah, so I mean, you know, just follow us on Instagram or Facebook, and, you know, we're going to try to get, you know, out there doing monthly rides. And so if you guys do want to come out with us and ride with us, just follow us along or, you know, send us a text, and we're going to start getting some group rides together. And I mean, besides that, yeah, if you guys just have anything UTV related, from shock service to engine builds to, you know, aftermarket warranty, you know, to your race car, whatever you guys want to build, we're here to make that dream come true. So
right on, man. Well, thanks for coming out and chatting with me. Thanks for, again, pushing my checkbook towards an expedition every time I get in one of these things. But
yeah,
it's been awesome, man.
Thank you for having me, man.
Yeah, for sure. Okay, we'll catch you guys on the next one.